Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll go back.
Hello, hello, welcome, welcome to the Extra Hour. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster, and joining with me today in the Extra Hour is Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Well, listen, my goodness, listen, we talked in the first hour how we're just 12 days away from Christmas. And we want to remind you, if you're listening here today, to go to the Torch. You can go to the Torch by going to VFNTV.com and listen to two segments that we talked about, you know, to get us to kind of just a refocus. One of them was giving the gift of compassion. You know, you can give a whole lot of things this year, but one gift that we really need to be able to give is the gift of compassion, being able to love on others and being there for someone. There's nothing like it. There are a lot of people today that are going through many challenges and many rough times, and we need to be able to slow down and have compassion. And compassion is two things, not just feeling bad about what someone's going through, Pat, but it's also being willing to do something about it. And it's Jesus was our perfect example about moving compassion. So I want to encourage you, give that gift of compassion this year, and also take time to serve others, take time to listen and love on people and care for people. You know, like we said, there's many people struggling and going through a challenging time this year. Let's not forget them. There's a lot of people that don't have family and don't have time to share, you know, love and some of the things that maybe come so natural to us. You know, take time to notice and pause and look at the people around you and share a kind word and do a kind thing. Which kind of leads right into our next segment we're going to share with our VFN Radio listeners today, is who does God love? You know, religion has just said so many things about God. But let me tell you something. Who does God love?
Right.
You're going to find out in this segment who does God love. Listen up.
I want to talk about this morning, you know, before we're, you know, the time, of course, moves quickly as we are speaking. But this is so important. We have some things we want to unfold because you need a foundation in your life. You need to know our foundation. Of course, a foundation is different than a cornerstone. A cornerstone is what you build off of. A foundation is what you lay down. And people say, well, your foundation is Jesus Christ. No, our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Everything is laid with the plumb line of the cornerstone. And so our foundation is God's word. You know, what he says about everything. It's not, oh, just Jesus. Like, no, it's Jesus, what Jesus says. You know, and so... And this one aspect of that, you know, and you're hearing us kind of lay down some of those foundations so you can kind of understand where we're coming from. It's important because there's nothing more evil than a religious spirit. And a religious spirit hears things differently and they begin to accuse in a way when somebody else was just talking about what is, but then God's perspective of that or looking, searching out what God's perspective is. The question, this is a very, very important question that I want to just think about and just begin a conversation about. And it's so important to know the answer to this question because it'll change how you handle everything, how you relate to your family, how you relate to your spouse, how you relate to your parents or your kids or your boss, or how you relate to your neighbor, how you relate to your people that are in your church gathering or not, how you relate to people who are in other religions. You know, this is the question. The question is, who does God love? Who does God love? I mean, you think about that. That's such an important question because when you look around, you start, everybody you know, who don't understand what we're going to talk about, what I'm going to be talking about, is that if you look at them, it seems like they're saying God loves them. You know, they're saying, this is what they're saying. They're saying, God loves me. God loves me. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. and then when they express everything else, it's like, and God hates you.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll change your perspective when we begin to answer that question, you know, who does God love? And when we find this out, it'll cause you to look at the news differently. It'll cause you to look at people differently, men differently, women, children, people of other ethnic groups differently, people of other nations differently, people of other political affiliations differently. I mean, everything's different. It's totally different. You got to get this because, you know, one of the foundational truths that we talked about is like, who are you calling good? And you can go to VFN TV and watch that. You need to watch it because if we don't get past this, that revelation is that you go around trying to be good and you aren't. And so you're constantly defeated and everybody thinks you're good. And so they don't look to good himself, which is God. And Jesus said, who are you calling good? When they called him good teacher, the only one good is God. And so you can see that on VFN TV. Now the question that we're asking is, you know, who does God love? And if you really talk to people who are caught up in oppression and a religious spirit of the land, that a lot of people claim to be related to God or to a God, but they don't feel loved by God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing the enemy wants to destroy is the question and the answer to the question, who does God love? Mm-hmm. Here's the answer. God loves mankind.
Mm-hmm.
That men, everybody that you've ever seen before in your life, everybody that you're ever going to see and people that you're seeing now, they're created in the image and the likeness of God. No matter what they're doing, what they have done, that he loves them, mm-hmm. which is you. He's never stopped loving you. He's never stopped loving, quote, them, unquote. He loves mankind. I mean, he tells us, you know, while we were yet sinners, while we were just cursing his name, while we were refusing to hear anything he had to say, when we were living our life totally opposite of him, even creating new versions of what we called him that wasn't him, he still was madly in love with us and is madly in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not madly, I don't like that word. He is deeply in love with mankind. And so what is while we were yet a sinner, while we were, and a sinner, sin means missing the mark. And the mark is God's laws, God's commands, and God says this is the way it's going to go. And so sin means we don't do it God's way. That's sin.
Mm-hmm.
And every man has sinned and fallen short. And so when we were doing things not God's way, intentionally or unintentionally, God loves us. God loved us, and God loves us. It means that God's love for man and women who are held captive by a religious spirit and even seem to be hateful, that God loves them. God loves hateful people. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
It means that God loves the church leaders that seem to have sold out for political correctness and now skipped over the parts of God's word and truth that cause people to feel uncomfortable. They've compromised God's word.
Mm-hmm.
God loves that man.
Mm-hmm.
God loves that woman. While we were yet a sinner, you have to understand, if you misunderstand this, you'll begin to be a religious person instead of a message person. This is delivering God's message of love to mankind. It means this. What does that mean? It means that God loves the man and woman who has sought to profit financially by establishing an organization or joining an organization, religious, that have used it to transfer finances of God's people to fuel their lavish lifestyles, their mansions, their planes, their luxury vacations, while God's people are deceived in giving towards that and trying to scrimp and eke out a living even to pay their rent. I mean, we got to get this. We're trying to build a dimension of God's love here.
Right.
We have to understand this. This is God's not delivering religion. Religion is what put Jesus on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Love is what will get you to willingly say, I will put myself on the cross. What does it mean? It means that God loves men and women who struggle with, who have given themselves over to the gay or lesbian lifestyle, including those who chose to be married. I mean, you see people today, they're yelling, hey. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, that's not the message of God. It's not gonna help. You just made them seem like they're hated by God. The truth is they're loved by God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves Americans who vote and those who don't vote. He loves Republicans, Democrats, independents, and whatever party that's out there.
Right.
This is important because you're hearing people hate people who don't think like them. And then they migrate God's, they lie about God, saying God hates them too because I hate them.
Right.
And God loves. Who does God love? While we were yet a sinner, God... Wait a minute, what does that mean? That means that God loves mankind. Well, he loves mankind. What does that mean? The people that you hate, he loves.
Mm-hmm.
If you do hate. I mean, hopefully when we finish here, you'll become a believer, you know, and right. Leave your religion and get into a relationship with the God who loves you. It means that God loves that tattooed and or pierced man or woman. And he even loves the one who never tattooed themselves or pierced themselves. He loves them both the same. That's what it means. Mm. It means God loves the presidents in the world. God loves kings. God loves queens. God loves dictators. God loves socialists, Marxists, and communists.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody said, I can't believe you're not a, and he named a party, and it's like, that's God's party. Dude. Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Don't even put that on God.
Who does God love? God loves Jews, Arabs, Chinese, Spaniards, Germans, Indians, Russians, Americans, Canadians, Mexicans, Africans, Egyptians, Syrians, Jordanians, Hungarians. He just loves all of us. God's not in your box. Listen, if we want to save this country, mm-hmm. It'll begin with understanding what I'm talking about. Because we're divided now. Because religion said that God loves this person, but doesn't love that person. And so we don't deliver God's message of love that brings people to a loving God. It means this. It means that God, while we were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. What does it mean? It means that God loves Muslims. God loves Hindus. God loves Mormons, Christians, Buddhists, Catholics, Baptists, Pentecostals, Methodists, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Scientologists, and all the many, many different people who have a different, yeah.
Because
mm-hmm. They're human beings created right. In the image and the likeness of God.
Right.
I mean, stop me if I'm wrong. I mean, if any point, this is not biblically or doctrinally correct because we are not, why should we even have this country as Christians? Why should we say, hey, this is a Christian nation when we don't even minister the love of God? It means God loves your ex-wife and your ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
God's not buying into your ex-spouse's evil. God loves your ex-spouse. And the way that you're ridiculing your kid's father in front of them, ma'am, is not a witness of the love of God. God loves your children's father. It means that God loves absent father's children. It means that God loves the man or woman who is addicted to alcohol, drugs, and who continually seems to squander every attempt for them to be rescued because the addiction pulls them back on the street. Listen, God loves that man. God loves that woman. It means that God loves the victims of crime, but he also loves the suspects in the crime. It means that God loves everyone in prison, including the warden, the guards, the cooks, the prisoners, and the visitors. It means that God loves the abuser and the abused. It means that God loves men and women who have skin color that's different than yours. It means that God loves women and men and children all the same. It means that God loves the oppressed and the oppressor. It means that God loves the man and the woman who sits lost in the crowd of a man and a woman who stood in front of the crowd for years teaching the word of God the very same way. You can't see them in the back, but God loves them the same.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves the one who stayed faithful in God for years and hasn't given their life over to sin, but it also means that God loves the prodigal son and daughter who once walked with him. The presence of God's people, even though they walked in it at one time and they squandered their life for sexual sin and self-indulgence, whatever it is, God's in love with the backslider. That's what it means. It means God loves the man and the woman who sits hours after hours behind computers, mobile devices, and cell phones, filled with lust in their heart for sexual images that are just all over the internet. It means that God loves the Christian man and the Christian woman who wants to walk right before God, but they just keep falling again and again, over again, and wiping themselves off and resetting themselves again and say, you know, I'm going to follow God. I've failed, but I'm going to follow God. It means that God loves the ministers who profess to be spreading his kingdom, but in reality, they're building their own kingdom. It means that God loves those who cheat on their taxes and those who pride themselves on paying every dime. It means that God loves the man or woman who uses their God-given gifts such as music, prophecy, speaking, deliverance, healing for means, for profit, for financial gain. But it also means that God loves the man and the woman who uses it rightly.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves your enemies. And when Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:43-44, he tells us, you know, that he's asking us to do the very same thing that he does himself. He says, listen, he says, you have heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, this is Jesus who you profess to follow. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of our Father in heaven. He's not asking us to do something that he hasn't done himself.
Mm-hmm.
When we get this truth, the revelation of God's love towards mankind, it's going to be easier for you to forgive those who sinned against you. It's going to be easier for you to love those that are difficult to love. It's going to be easier to experience loss and persecution without retaliation. For us to retaliate, we're retaliating against that man or woman that God loves. For us to hold unforgiveness towards somebody, we're holding unforgiveness towards someone that God loves. That's why he says, if you forgive, I'll forgive.
Mm-hmm.
How can we hate the one God loves and claim that we're sons of God when we're hating the one he loves? It means that God's love for us is for all of us while we were still sinners. And that means what? Not doing things God's way. He loved us so much, every one of us, that he died for us. He died for you. Why did he do that? Because he needed to be a sacrifice. Something had to be done. He loved you so much, and there was an issue between, there was a distance between you. There was something, there was this chasm between you and the one that loves you, and it had to be dealt with. And the only way it could be dealt with, because he loves you so much, it had to be dealt with by taking his son whom he loved to be a sacrifice for you. A payment had to be made. There had to be a payment. It's like, I love my son, but I love you too. I love this guy and that guy and this woman and that woman and this child. And I love all these nations. There's a chasm between us called sin, and it has to be dealt with. But it's not them. It's the sin. And I love them. I don't love that thing that separates me from them, because I want to be with them. So as the adversary seeks to divide men and women, nation from nation, kingdom against kingdom, know that despite all man is doing to divide and conquer mankind, that God is still seeking to unite us, to unite mankind, whom he loves, with himself, through his son, Jesus Christ. Don't fall prey to the adversary's tactic that tells you God hates, and you fill in the blank. The category of a person. Because it's not true. God loves them. For God is love. He so loved the world. That's us, mankind. That he gave his son. Whoever. That's all of us. Whosoever believes in him would not perish, but we won't. We can be with him forever. We'll have eternal life. Why? Because he wants to be with you forever. He loves you so much. I don't care, ma'am, what religion told you. God loves you. Don't take your life, Idaho. 7% of the children, they're going to school, that you've been surveyed, and they say that you want to end your life. Don't end your life. That's the devil. God loves you. You're struggling with your sexual identity. God loves you. I know religion said that God hates you. That's the devil speaking through them. God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. He loves you so much, he wants to be with you forever. Our distance from the one who loves us, God, is not measured in miles and feet and inches. I mean, imagine being in love with that which you're in love with, that person, and that there's something between you, and all of a sudden you begin to hate that thing that's between you. You don't hate the one you love. You're wanting to get everything out of the way that's between you two.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden people start calling you what you're wrestling with, instead of saying, no, he's in love with me. He just hates that thing that's trying to take me down. Our distance from the one who loves us is only measured not in feet, not in inches, not in miles. It's measured in sin. Mm. The more sin, the more distance. You see, God is in love with the sinner. God loves you. He just hates the thing that's in between you and him, that separates intimacy with him, you and him. He'll forgive it all. He loves you so much, he gave his son for that opportunity. It's so important for us to be sons and daughters of God. And a true son and daughter of God understands that no matter what, no matter how, no matter our loss because of sin or someone else's sin towards us, that God loves us and God loves them. Therefore, we love God and we love others. Therefore, to win the objects, mankind, of God's affection, we must make sure we let them know how much he loves them and why sin is preached against. It's the divider between him and them. And he so desperately wants to be with you, he will shake the world to let you know he loves you, and he will forgive you, and he'll restore the years the locusts had devoured. And that's why all those religious mouths are trying to ridicule you and condemn you, because Satan's got their tongue going, no, you can't go to him. I'm jealous of the love that he has for you. I was thrown out of heaven because I wanted to be him. And don't you love him? And I don't want you to know the love he has for you. And then so he condemns you. He ridicules you. And God's saying, oh, no, 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 no. 1 John I mean, John tells us, 1 John chapter 4, 19 through 21, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, John says it. In the letter he's writing to the church, he says, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, who he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Mm-hmm. And he's given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So this perspective, we got to get this perspective. If not, you're going to sound like a jerk. You know, God's given you a love letter to deliver to somebody, and all you talk about is all the things that divide them from God's love, and you don't talk about them and that God loves them and God wants to spend time with them, and it's all about their intimate relationship, and God don't want to go between. You don't want you to be a go-between. He wants a personal relationship with them. And so this gross darkness, and gross darkness is covering the earth, and you can just see it just kind of trying to defeat the very one thing that God loves. It's so important for us to do this one simple thing, and this is our driving force, and it's the greatest commandment and the greatest commission of everything else hangs on this. Everything in all creation hangs on this one thing I'm about to tell you. It's very simple, church. Love God. Love others. And lead others to do the same.
Wow. That's so good. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of who does God love. Because what happens is that when we are attacked in a way where we can begin to start judging others.
All right.
Come on now. That's what pride is. Pride is when you start overestimating your importance.
All right.
And undervalue the importance of somebody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, last I checked, no one on this earth that's presently alive outside of Jesus has died for anybody's sins.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And if Jesus was willing to give his life for everybody, mm-hmm. who is any believer, who is any person, you know, to judge someone else and to say, you know, I disapprove of who you are and you know what you've become and right. your lifestyle. The truth is that God loves everyone. You know, he died for everyone. And we need a fresh perspective with that, because if we don't, my goodness.
Right.
Come on now. That's how right. are we going to share the gospel, the love of God, while we're excluding others?
That's right. I mean, we're all saved by grace. Nothing of our own righteousness.
Absolutely. Which comes, you know, talks just about, you know, that condemnation. We're going to get condemnation out. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Well, we'll be right back.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you, because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ, that he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFN TV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and you already like it. It's got the when you turn on your or open your VFN TV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFN TV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series.
Mm-hmm.
And series, you just touch it, and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, which also original intent and wisdom moments and
prophetic words.
Prophetic words. And those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetized. But then at the bottom, you can choose live. Like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's VVictor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom, and we need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other, and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king as his kingdom and the safety of his people. You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back. And those that are being led to the Lord, I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 900, one-sixth of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces a someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just for like $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. If you're just joining us in the extra hour, my goodness, what a program. We are so encouraged that you're joining with us here today. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me is Pat Hamilton. Well, you know, Pat, it's time for the VFN Torch Top 3.
Yes.
It is time. It is time. We like to do this. We like to share and highlight some of the segments that we have done on VFN radio program. And, you know, a lot of people are just sharing these highlights. They're sharing them on Facebook. They're emailing them. They're re-listening to them. And it's a wonderful way that we can just kind of remind ourselves of some of the things that we heard and some of the things that are important. You know, the one I want to share with you is you can't Google God. You know, this is a fantastic segment because in this highlight we talk about that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but to search out of matters the glory of kings. And we share that, you know, technology is advancing at such a pace where it's so easy and quick for people just to start Googling everything. You know, if you were listening to yesterday's program, we talked about in the first hour how technology is just going to be advancing at such a pace over the next 20 to 25 years that you know, artificial intelligence, computers are going to literally be talking to us on such a greater scale that at some point, as we advance in technology, you know, the more smarter technology gets, if you will, the more dumber we're going to get.
Yeah, right.
Because we're out of the process of thinking, of using our brains and just, you know, listening. And that's why it's so important, to, as we've been talking, you know, quite often about the importance of abiding. You know, how important it is to actually read your Bible and let the pages go through your fingers, you know, so you can actually know where the book of Leviticus is, or where the book of Romans, what testament is that? It's so important. And it's important to take the time to read God's word, to listen, and actually write down on paper, not on an electronic device.
Right.
What's he saying? You know, at some point we're probably going to have to just, you know, unattach ourselves from the grid, if you will, you know, so that we can actually be able to actually listen and walk with God. It's not about knowing everything, but it's about knowing what God wants you to know in the time that you need to know it.
Right.
We can't gather all the information in the world to store up. There's no way that we can possibly do that. But we can make it through anything if we have an abiding relationship with God. We hear his voice, and on any given day, at any given moment, since we're connected to the Spirit of God, he can tell us exactly what we need to know. In fact, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He reminds us of everything Jesus told us.
That's right.
And he'll continue to lead us. So if you want to catch that, you can't Google God. The second one we want to share is the strife of fools. This is a great segment because, you know, oftentimes every day we like to share the moment of wisdom.
Right.
And in Proverbs, it has a lot to say. Proverbs has a lot to say, and it makes a lot of comparisons between fools and the wise man.
That's right.
And what we want to make sure is that we don't fall into the trap. We don't fall into the trap of strife. We don't want to fall into the trap of the foolishness of fools, which is constantly, you know, making a disturbance, constantly not bringing peace, and it's always a strifeful environment.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we can walk in wisdom and rise above that strife, and we can have peace. And we don't want to follow the ways of a foolish man, but we want to follow the ways that God has prescribed to us in his word. We want to walk in the wisdom of God and the peace of God and not in the strife of fools.
Exactly.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
And as we round out and come close, listen, we only have what? How many more days left in this year? 20 some odd days left? What is it, the 13th?
If that.
17, 18 days left in the year. I mean, we are coming close to putting 2012 in the can, and we're looking forward to an amazing 2013.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that is what I'm going to share here with you, the third highlight of the third, actually the number one, we were going 3, 2, 1. Mm-hmm. The number one highlight for today is get value-based vision management, the way to manage your life. You know, it's not about managing your time. It's about managing the events in your life.
All right. That's good. Yeah. I mean, without it, there's no way I could function and do the things that I do.
Can you imagine? You know, most people, you know, events are hitting them like, you know, like bugs on a windshield. Right. And they just happen to bump into life.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't live life on purpose. I like to say they live life
on them, and they're just like putting out fires constantly.
Yeah, I like to say that they live life on accident, not life on purpose. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it just happens. It just bump into them, or like you just said, the events bump into them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can actually use the wisdom that God's given us to actually have a vision and manage that vision as we go into 2013. You know, maybe you've had some trials and some tribulations, if you will, this 2012.
Right.
Maybe you've had some things that happened to you that could have been avoided. I want to give you hope. We want to share hope with you today and say, listen, you can have a vision for 2013, and you can begin to see your way out of the situation that you're in today and the trial that you're in today. And you know what? Maybe if you've just been coasting along, why not believe God for more? Why just not, you know, we're not called to survive, but as believers, we're called to thrive. We're called mm-hmm. to excel in the things of God and advance his kingdom. But we're not going to do it just by kind of floating through. You know what I mean?
All right, exactly.
We're going to do it by having a purpose. We're going to do it by having a vision. And we're going to need help in managing that vision. If you haven't been a part of the Value-Based Vision Management, listen, you want to stay tuned in as these seminars become available. You want to be able to make sure that you get connected and get some vision in your life.
Right, exactly.
And also have some strategies on how to plan that vision out.
Exactly. That's good.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's the top three. I want to transition here and talk about our wisdom moment for the day.
Good.
Our wisdom moment for the day is found in Proverbs 13, verse 21. Misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. I'm going to say that again. Mm-hmm. Misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. You know, we share about wisdom every day, and it's godly wisdom, book found in the book of Proverbs. You know, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and, you know, imagine that. There's about 30, 31 days in
imagine
the month.
That, yeah.
And why not? Why not in your reading, in your time of abiding with the Lord, you know, listen to a proverb, read a proverb for that day, you know, read the corresponding proverb of the day with the month, and allow God's word to speak to you and get as much wisdom. You know, a lot of people are acquiring knowledge and they're learning a whole lot of things. Mm-hmm. You may be even seeing some commercials on how you can speak into a tablet and it'll just regurgitate some information out to you. What is whatever, you know.
Right, right.
But that's knowledge. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like getting the wisdom that comes from God. There is a worldly wisdom, and then there is a godly wisdom. And as believers, we want to walk by what God's word says that we need to walk. But, you know, in reference to this proverb, misfortune pursues the sinner, but the prosperity is the reward of the righteous. Have you noticed, maybe in your life, Pat, or the life of others that you maybe have seen, that maybe someone that doesn't know God, doesn't have a relationship with God, that sometimes they always happen to have a misfortune in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bible says that believers, we go from glory to glory, but they just seem to go from bad luck to bad luck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is true.
And it seems that they just become a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like for bad luck. It's like, oh my goodness, what? Trouble again?
Right.
You know, it's like, really? Drama yet again?
Right.
And it seems to be like a downward constant spiral. And almost like they seem to be at the wrong place, always at the wrong place, and always at the wrong time.
Always. Always.
And it's like, you know, maybe constantly getting hit with fines or summonses or tickets or, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
All types of stuff that's happening. It's like,
right, always
oh my
late.
Goodness.
Yeah.
And it's just like a whirlwind, a cloud, if you will, is mm-hmm. it follows them. Where just things of misfortune and bad luck seem to be upon their life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you've heard people say, it just seems bad luck just follows me. Well,
there may be some truth to that. Exactly.
Yeah. We really have to just, you know, look at the scriptures and see what does God say about all of this. You know, then there are those that have, you know, problems, consistent problems in their relationships. There's always have a problem that's tied to them. For some reason, you know, they always get the supervisor, Pat. They always get the supervisor that doesn't like them.
Right.
For some reason.
They always have a terrible boss. It's never them. It's always, ugh.
But it's that supervisor, or it's this one, you know, this family member, or it's this neighbor, or it's just like, you know, it just doesn't, the relationships don't ever seem to gel right. So,
right. Or you've been married 10 times, and it's always the wife's fault or the husband's fault. It was never their fault.
Right. It's like, what's happening here? And as soon as they get out of one trial, it just seems like the next one's just like waiting right around the corner. We're talking about the moment of wisdom that misfortune pursues the sinner.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we really got to think about this because, you know, we've got to realize, wait a minute, things just don't happen just because they happen. There's a reason why things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not like kind of happenstance. And, you know, I'm amazed at the same time of those who refuse to make Jesus the Lord of their life and just wonder why misfortune keeps happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, how can we be shocked about that? You know, we're talking about, you know, we got to get real mm-hmm. so that we can move forward. But, you know, I'm not saying that God necessarily does bad things to people.
Right.
But, you know, there are times throughout Bible and you know, present day life.
Right.
You know, God disciplines those that he loves. And mm-hmm. you may consider that as a misfortune or bad luck, but it's not. That's not bad luck. It's just maybe the discipline of God. I mean, you know,
right.
Miriam had leprosy. You know, she would say, maybe I had some bad luck. I don't know about bad luck, Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God was the one that gave her that leprosy. She thought that she could remember speak against Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, you can't do that.
Right.
You know, I speak to Moses face to face, you know.
Right.
You can't. This is Moses is my man. You just can't do that.
All right, exactly.
And that's important. That's important. We can't live a life independent of God and not be surprised and be shocked and dumbfounded. Where, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, trouble hit me again. Well, hello. Think about mm-hmm. this concept. You
right.
know, I'm going to try to live a life independent of God. How can things go well? How if God is the one mm-hmm. that has created us, and he has,
mm-hmm.
if he's the one who's given us the Bible to instruct us and for us to have communion with him, and he has,
mm-hmm.
and since he's the one that created us, I mean, you know, I would think that he would have the best way in how he would want us to live.
Mm-hmm.
If we try to, you know, live outside of that,
mm-hmm.
we shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
It's like trying to get a fan to do something that you know, an air conditioner was meant to do. I mean, if you try to... you know, push a fan to do something outside of what it was created to do,
mm-hmm.
eventually it's going to be worn out and broken up. We can't be surprised that it broke.
Right, right.
You know, we're trying to cool off the house with a fan. Just kept it running 24 hours a day. Well, I think that motor's going to burn out after a while.
Yeah.
You know, was it meant to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And we, in contrast, we look at the prosperity. We look at the prosperity, you know, that is given, the reward of those who are righteous. But before we do that, I do want to share this example, and I might have shared this before, Pat, but, you know, part of the whole misfortune thing is this, you know, it's almost like a child that's walking across the street, you know, mm-hmm. with a parent.
Right.
And the parent is saying, hey, listen, I want you to hold my hand through life. You know, you got to be careful as we're walking across this way. But the child at some point decides, I'm going to snatch my hand away from the father,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to walk this life, walk across the street any which way I want to. And then they're surprised that they get hit by cars and events and tragedies mm-hmm. in their life. It's like, wait a minute. God didn't leave us. Maybe we left God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are blessings to obey God. And there are, you know, ramifications and consequences.
That's right.
If we disobey him. But the second part of the scripture is that prosperity is the reward of the righteous. And prosperity is not always about money. Because first, 3 John 1, 1-2 tells us that, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Mm. Think about it.
That's good.
You know, and that God wants you to prosper in all areas as a believer. He wants you to be blessed in health and blessed finances and blessed in your relationship and prosper in all the things that you touch. Mm. Why? Because, you know, everything that you touch is designed to give him glory.
Right.
And to glorify God. So yeah, God wants you to prosper in all things. And the blessings of the Lord are on those who make him the Lord of their life. God rewards those. He blesses those who walk with him.
Mm.
No different.
That's right.
No different than a good parent who blesses a child for doing the right thing.
Right.
You know, you tell your child, listen, if you don't want to go to bed early tonight, listen, if you don't like this happening, maybe you need to do what you need to do so that you can enjoy the benefits.
That's
you
right.
know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I mean, this is it. You know, I love what Mark Twain said. It's not the scriptures that I don't understand that gave me the biggest problems. The scriptures that I do understand. It's not that hard. You know what I'm saying? It
right.
really is not that hard So as we close out, the wisdom moment today is found in Proverbs 13:21, that misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.